Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, Knight Nation. I'm Trey Strolko from the Sons of UCF, joined by Eric Lopez of the Black and Gold Banneret. Welcome to Around the Kingdom. Elo, hello to you.
Trace, hello. Coming up on the fastest UCF show around, spring football 2024 is over, and now it's portal season? What? Who's left? Who's here? Trace is going to let us know about all that and his impressions on this incredible legacy spring gig. Also, baseball in trouble, softball soaring, and who's our newest basketball player? That's all coming up on the fastest UCF show here around the kingdom.
Well, before we get going with all of that, let us welcome in Adam Eaton from the Sons of UCF. Keeps an eye on the clock, keeps us on our toes. Hello, Adam.
Greetings, gents. I'm in an unfamiliar place, but it's good to see some familiar faces on Around the Kingdom.
All right, we'll check back with you in a moment. All right, Elo, what are we going to do here? Spring game was Friday. You were not in attendance, and it was not streamed, so you could not watch it. But we got 3 minutes on the clock. What do you want to talk about?
Well, what's your big takeaways now from the spring game? I did see clips, which I was surprised to see on social media, a lot of highlight clips, helmets, some cool helmets. That was fun, and apparently we have a quarterback who threw a lot of interceptions. So is that accurate, what I missed?
Well, I would say it was a lovely night for football. Good crowd. Folks had a good time. The helmet decals looked great. And KJ Jefferson was a little inconsistent in his performance. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. One of those aided by a wide receiver who could not hold on to the ball. So not a fair two to KJ Jefferson.
Javon Baker's back? Javon Baker's back on the team? Oh, never mind.
But the usual suspects that you think would perform well in this game. Xavier Townsend at wide receiver being one of those. Defense with 9 sacks, which, of course, when you have offense versus defense, it means that the offensive line did not perform particularly well at times in this one. But, you know, a half of football and then the fun and games in the second half. All in all, a good time had by everyone in attendance.
Was this even a spring game or is this just a spring activity? I mean, maybe we should change the name of this. As I've been on record, I don't take anything at all from the spring game. I think it's whatever. Because here's the thing. You just pointed it out. Did they get 9 sacks because the defense played well or because the offense is trying new things? We don't know. It's all random. I will say, ask you this. You mentioned the crowd. Better crowd than it normally has been the last few years? Did you notice any differences? Because last year, I will say this. Last year, I felt there was more buzz because of the JRP angle playing the baseball game. And then coming over to football. Similar crowd, more or less than a year ago, let's say. I'm curious.
I'd say a similar crowd. No official announcement. By looking around, I'd say 10,000 or so. Okay. You know, it's not since the days of that first Frost, when Scott Frost had his first spring game and there was a crowd of more than 20,000. Has the game ever drawn particularly well? Hey, it's not Tuscaloosa, Alabama with 70,000 people on a Saturday afternoon. But I think folks had fun. There is a lightness to it. You know, it is essentially a practice for a half, you know, so you're not getting a whole lot of substance. But, hey, it's the only football we have now for a couple of months.
I will say, so you're saying it's not going to lead the news at the 11 o'clock news like it did in Alabama when I was in Birmingham and they led with Bo Scarborough having a monster spring game? I will say this. It sounded, though, like it was a good fan experience. And I will say this. That, to me, should be the goal, is make sure the fans that go there have a good time and connect with the team. What happens on the field is irrelevant. Did people have a good time? Is it an event that people want to go? And it sounds like it was from the way you've described it. So that's a good
thing. And certainly having it at night. Now, some will argue Saturday night better than a Friday night, but certainly not a day game, even though this was not a particularly hot weekend, right? It's still a better nighttime activity.
Oh, without question. They clearly night better than an early afternoon game, no doubt. And I think they always do Friday night because of recruiting. All right, Trace, you were there all spring. You and Andrew Cherico, who I'm just going to call him Andrew Cherico, because I like it. It rhymes with Mike.
You changed it again.
I am. I'm going to change it forever, Andrew, buddy. I love you, buddy, but it's your new cliche. Whose stock rose the most from your limited time, maybe watching limited action, but more importantly, talking to players in postgame, do you think, this spring?
Well, I think the fact you mentioned talking to players, not only players at the podium, but in the post-podium scrums, we got a lot of players throughout spring, and you pick up on little nuggets. I had opportunity to speak with Caden Kittler, and he's settling in as center. So I'd say his stock is on the rise. Certainly he is one. And then with Kobe Hudson being held back throughout spring, dealing with an injury, nothing serious, says head coach Gus Malzahn, I'd say wide receiver Jared Baker, he stepped up. You know, there's that conversation. You know, you've got Kobe, you've got X, Xavier Townsend. Who's gonna step up and be another wide receiver? We heard Trent Whittemore's name throughout spring camp, but Jared Baker stepped up during the spring game, that half of football. So he's someone, a freshman name that stood out that we heard over and over again, people very high on talking about, was wide receiver Bradell Richardson. So that's a name. But some guys seem to have good springs. But hey, we do this show a year from now, or did it a year ago. There's always going to be names that you hear. I'd say overall, though, this was a confident team throughout this spring camp. You have key veterans returning. You've got that transfer portal. Overall depth, you believe to be improved. And, you know, you're talking about maybe a lack of buzz in this particular spring game, but I'd say the buzz in this camp is the heightened expectations that go into the 2024 season.
I am happy to hear about the wide receivers, because I do think that is a legitimate question, the depth of it. Who knows what that'll look like come August. So I think that's a very good positive there from that standpoint, to hear some good things about the receiving core, that maybe there's more depth than we think behind the scenes. I think that's the beauty of going to these interviews and talking to people. You tend to pick up on these things that usually come one or two of those. Remember Dylan Gabriel? There was a lot of talk about Dylan Gabriel that spring, and it turns out it was worthy of that. So you never know. You might get some good information from that point on. Of course, you know, we'll see if that stock continues to go up or not.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier the portal. The port of taketh. As we record on a Monday night, and things as the portal opens on a Tuesday, there could be more news. We have to pick a time and a date to record, so we're not going to capture every moment of news in real time. But breaking Monday on 3 Sports, amongst the outlets reporting that quarterback Timmy McClain was set to enter the portal. That dents the depth at quarterback, right? This is KJ Jefferson's job, the Arkansas transfer. Believed a battle there at 2 between Timmy McClain, the former South Florida quarterback, and Dylan Risk. And now, you know, like most teams, you don't have a veteran presence as your second stringer. And, you know, with injuries, you want to have a reliable 2. And unless UCF dips into that transfer portal to get a guy, maybe there's some question marks about QB2.
I don't think anybody should be surprised by this. This is the new norm. Like you mentioned, a lot of veteran guys are going to leave to go start somewhere else. He probably thought he was in line to start. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So he's moving on. And so you're young at the backup. This is not a UCF issue. This is a college football issue. My issue here is this, Trace. Who was the one that thought it was a great idea to have a portal open here in April after the spring? We had one in December. Now we got one in April. Why do we have to have 2? Why can't we just have 1? Either do it in December or do it after April. Don't do one in December. But I think this is insane because you're going to have constantly players leaving that know they don't have a role, and then they're going to have constant movement. And as a result, your depth's going to get hurt. And in that particular position, the quarterback, unfortunately, that's – we saw this with Florida State with Jordan Travis when he got hurt, how young they became quarterback-wise, especially when the second guy went out. Unfortunately, this is part of the norm now in college football.
Certainly is, and we'll see what other names enter the portal. UCF touting depth, but as you can see, you lose the guy you think may be in line to be QB2, and your depth takes a big-time dent.
We'll always remember that Baylor game that Timmy started with that wacky throw in the end zone. Thanks for the big blown lead. All right. We didn't see any of these games. You know why I couldn't watch, Trace? Because it wasn't streamed. But really, did we really miss anything? Did I miss anything, Trace? Was it maybe a good thing that they didn't stream this now in retrospect? Come on. Admit it.
Unless someone forces Gus Malzahn to stream this game, I don't think he's ever going to do it. And I know Ohio State was on Fox, and there were several others that televised or streamed their games. It's a fun, family-friendly evening. Is it worth driving from South Florida up, unless you're making it a weekend in Central Florida and taking in the game as part of other festivities and activities? Probably not. I don't know what you'd see streaming. I mean, and again, I speak as someone who had an opportunity to go to most of the practices, so I saw something along the way that most people didn't. So if you're looking for that hour or so to watch them in practice, but no, I mean, I think it should be streamed, but nothing's changing if you miss this.
Let me defend UCF on this. Don't you think, because it wasn't streamed, a few extra people locally went to it because it wasn't streamed? So maybe it helps bring more people locally. Plus, they're not showing anything. You know this year. What did you really find? What plays did they show you throughout that ordeal? Nothing. Unless ESPN, the linear channel, or ESPN2 or somebody like that says, hey, we want to broadcast your spring game. I don't know why you would if you're UCF. What's the benefit out of it?
No, not really. Again, and they had, it was a fun evening. They had the fun in the games after the hour or so of the practice. And then, heck, a little while later, there was a rocket launch that you could see, off in the distance of the Space Coast. So all in all, fun evening. If it were up to me and it could be done, I'd stream the game for fans. But there just aren't enough that care. Hey, I'm being generous probably with 10,000 people coming out. Had a good time. But no, you're not really seeing anything consequential.
If they streamed it and they asked you to broadcast, would you work for free?
I work for free?
Yeah.
More than I do now? Let's bring in Adam Eaton again for our silly games.
That seemed uncalled for. I'm not going to lie to you, Trace. All right, let's. This silly game's all about the portal. It's portal season, so I've got questions all portal related. So let me start with this one right here. Eric, I'll start with you and your prediction. If I set the number at 1.5, over or under the amount of projected starters that you think will transfer in this portal cycle for UCF. So 1.5, you take an over or under projected starters that you think might transfer out here in the spring window.
Oh, that's a good number, man. That's a
good number.
I'm going to go under. Come on. Everybody should feel pretty good about this team. I'm going to go under.
Okay, Trace.
I'm going to go under too. I think the Kingdom has shown that they are able to lock down guys. They've gotten a little savvier about working with transfers in the portal. So I think they'll lock down their guys, even if they have to renegotiate a few deals.
A lot of rumors spreading out about receivers, running backs. Everybody gets stay tuned. All right, Trace, next question for you. Again, about the portal. Are you more excited about who we could get? Or are you more nervous about who we could lose? What's your portal philosophy? More excited about who you could bring in, or more excited about, or more nervous about who you might lose?
More nervous about who UCF might lose, because if you're reading message boards and following social media, it's doom and gloom amongst names being floated. So if UCF were to lose some of those more high profile names, those are the ones and the names that I know and the players that I know. I don't know who's coming in from the portal that replaces them. So more concerned about who they could lose than who they might get.
We're talking football only, right? We're not talking about all the sports. Okay.
Let's say football. Yeah.
I think for football, I'm more interested to see who they get. I you always worry about who you're going to lose, but who do you get? Because it's a kind of a pluses and minus. You lose some, you get some. So who do you get in return? I'm always more intrigued to see what do they consider as something they need to get in the portal.
All right, Elo, this one goes to you first. Since the transfer portal era started, let's call that circa 2020, right? Since the portal era kind of came and hit here in college sports, Eric, what's been the biggest loss UCF's had in the transfer portal? Who's the one player that you think represents the biggest loss UCF's had in the transfer portal?
That's a great question. I would say Bethune at linebacker. I don't think we've replaced him since he left. Our linebacking core has been an issue. I would say start with him, believe it or not, at a linebacking position.
That's a good one, Elo. I'd say Matt Lee at center. That's one that it felt like caught us, off guard with him going to Miami. Now, I think they more adequately took a couple of guys over time there to replace him. But I think, you know, when he was coming off all conference honors, he could have really been a big difference maker for UCF had he stayed.
Interesting. No one said one Dylan Gabriel as the option. All right. Here's the last question. Fun question. I know both of you are big golf fans. The Masters tournament was this weekend, and there's a tradition at the Masters that the winner the very next year gets to host a Champions Dinner, and they get to decide the menu. So they get to pick the menu. All the former winners come back. They hang out in their green jackets, and the winner has the menu control. So Trace, I'll start with you. If for some reason you won the Masters, which would be awesome, by the way. What's the Champions Dinner menu a la Trace Trocco? What do you have? And again, you can have anything. You get an appetizer, you get a main course, you get a dessert. What are you putting on the menu?
I can have anything. I was going to say my favorite dish is lasagna, but if we're going to, spare no expense, some sort of high-end steak would be on the menu rather than a lasagna. So we'd go high-end steak.
What's the dessert looking like?
What's the dessert looking like? My favorite dessert would be a key lime pie. I would have that.
All right. Nice steak and key lime pie. Elo, what's the Champions Dinner a la Eric Lopez?
We're going to have a little rice and black beans, a little ground beef. Yeah. All right. With some New York cheesecake for dessert. Huh?
Okay. Okay.
Let's go.
I think the winner here may be Elo. I think he may be the winner here. I love a good cheesecake.
He's probably got a better chance of winning the Masters than I do.
Which one of you two is better at golf? Which one of you two, if we had to play golf, which one of you is better?
I am fantastic at putt-putt golf. No, I challenge anyone.
Oh.
I don't have a nice driver. I don't have a driver to compete.
Okay.
Yeah, instead of Gus Malzahn challenging the media to a foot race, how about putt-putt golf, Elo? We can do that.
Sons of UCF tournament. We'll meet at Pop Stroke in Waterford Lakes. We'll figure this thing out.
I like that.
Good luck.
I like that. All right. Thank you, Adam. All right. Switching gears a little bit. A little sad news in UCF world, Elo, as we begin the week. Former athletic director Steve Sloan announced passed away at age 79. You know, I was surprised as I was reading the articles and the remembrances, all glowing and favorable of him as a gentleman, that he was AD from 1993 to 2002. My memory, I don't remember him being at UCF quite that long, seeing the transition as UCF was climbing classifications in sports and in football and changing leagues and the like.
When I moved to Orlando and went to UCF, he was the AD at the time. And so that's what I remember. He was the first AD I remembered. And obviously one of the big things he did was he decided with John Hitt and everybody to bring softball. He hired Rene Gillespie from Texas Tech to come over here to start the softball program. That was one of them, obviously, from a football standpoint, taking them from the levels that they were, independent, going to, obviously, the MAC, obviously, the Ace Sundays. Did some things. Obviously, not perfect, but it's a tough job at that time, Trace, right? Like, UCF, independent, no real, identity, So he did with the best he could there. But from what I remember, I met him once or twice. He was a very nice, a good man, from my dealings.
Alabama ties, right? Won a national championship with the Crimson Tide. Was AD when UCF went to Tuscaloosa, beat Alabama. One of the stories being shared on message boards, can't corroborate that it's accurate, but I'll take the person at their word, is that Sloan said to fans and the team, I don't think Alabama's going to schedule UCF again, and that is proven true. all these years later in football. But certainly a gentleman. You know, you talk about leagues that UCF played in, right? Wandering around as this nomad, independent. Funny that they at one point were in the Mid-American Athletic Conference, right? The Mid-American Conference, and how a strange fit that was.
But he made that move because he knew he needed to get into a conference because they didn't make the bowl game in 98 because they were an independent, and then the MAC eventually would lead to CUSA.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Steve Sloan.
Absolutely. Thoughts with his family. Some basketball news. On Three Sports reporting that Syracuse transfer forward Benny Williams has committed to UCF. He's a former top 35 recruit, Trace, that had some running with some issues that got him gone from Syracuse. Your thoughts on the big move here? A boom or concern there with Benny coming to UCF?
What'd you say? Got him gone? He got kicked off the team, Elo. All right.
Alleged. Hey, you know.
He got, now that's not allegedly. He got kicked off the team for multiple infractions. You know, violations of team policy, pushing an opposing player. You know, as someone responded to me on a social media post, because I posted some of the articles coming out of Syracuse about his checkered, troubled past as part of the Syracuse program, that Johnny Dawkins is a solid mentor for young men, and maybe that's what he needs. But, you know, you have other names that are being circulated that might ink with UCF that have questionable records in the past, too. What's the phrase now? Last chance you? Is that what it's going to take? UCF taking gambles on kids of questionable character in order to advance the program? Is that the pressure now being, you know, applied to head coach Johnny Dawkins and staff?
I would say it's welcome to the Big 12 college basketball. That's pretty much what everybody does. The good news is, who else would you rather have than Johnny Dawkins under the watch? So it's unique, but that might be the way UCF can find diamonds on the rough, if you will, to get guys to compete in the Big 12 in this landscape, especially if you don't have the NIL money that other schools in the league does. How else are you going to compete, Trace?
I guess they have to be on their best behavior for a year or less than a year, because that's all.
And they're young people, Trace. Young people can change. They can change. Like, we always act like, oh, what, you get in trouble, and that's it. You're a troublemaker. I mean, if that was the case, we'd all be a troublemakers, because I'm sure we all have gotten in trouble at some point in our young lives.
What team did you get kicked off of? But all right, I digress. Let's switch gears to the prop bets. Prop bets was combined pitcher K's, baseball, softball. You had five from Ben Vespe, but none from Caitlin Cochran. Did not play, right? That's what happens when UCF does so well in their road series, a sweep at Houston. I had Dom Stagliano with five K's and Sarah Willis. I told you she was going to put me over the top. Six K's Friday, four K's Sunday, 10, 15 to 5, right? How's my math this week? My math right?
Oh, smack talk. Hey, listen. I will be more than glad if it means softball playing run rule victory that I lose prop bets. That's a good trade-off. So good, congratulations, sir.
All right. What's the prop this week? What are we playing?
Baseball has got a big four-game series against the Chippewas of Central Michigan, Dick Embergs, the late Dick Embergs alma mater. My question to you, Trace, over under 50 runs scored by UCF baseball against the Chippewas over four games. I'm going over.
You're going over. I am hoping for a four-game rainout, because this is going to be terrible for the strength of schedule. No disrespect to Central Michigan. You have gone with the over. Four, that's 12 plus runs a game, Elo. They put up decent numbers at West Virginia over three games. But you went with the over. I will go with the under, and I will hope for some rain.
You're waiting for a game so you can win the prop. Very, very good. Very good. Helps everybody. I understand where you're coming from. That's great. Unbelievable. All right, Trace. You mentioned baseball. They scored some runs in Morgantown. Unfortunately, they gave up more than they scored, as they were swept by the Mountaineers, who are now on top of the Big 12 standings. UCF dips. No more rankings. What went wrong for UCF baseball, and are you concerned?
They've not performed well on the road. Let me answer the first question there. What went wrong? Relief pitching didn't help them. They let games and leads get away late. Am I concerned? 2-7 now on the road in true road games, right? And I think the question is, you know, they're going to right the ship in terms of the one loss record. They're going to take a hit in the RPI with a Central Michigan. And before that, North Florida midweek. They've got, they're now 8-10, Elo. They were 8-7, get swept 8-10. If you double the 8-7, because it's a 30-game schedule, 16-14 with a high RPI. I like their NCAA tournament chances, but they got a Texas series, and now they're 8-10. Can they go 8-4, Elo, to get back to that 16-14? They're going to have to sweep somebody along the way. I'm a little more concerned about them, but I've had trouble buying in completely over the course of this season.
Well, we enjoyed that brief run of hoping to host. I mean, that's gone. But
no, that's definitely gone.
Yeah, I will say this. They have the softer part of their schedule coming up. Cincinnati, Houston, Baylor. They're going to have to win those series.
Those are winnable.
Very winnable.
Cincinnati and Houston. Cincinnati and Houston are more winnable. Texas is tough, but yeah,
remember, top 10 teams in the Big 12 get to the Big 12 tournament. There's three teams that don't make it. You got to make the Big 12 tournament. I think you got to stay above 500. I think you mentioned a great number, 16-14. College baseball committees, usually, if you're above 500 at a power conference like the Big 12, you tend to get the benefit of doubt and you get in. Let me bring up a conversation I had with your friend and Adam's friend, Sons of UCF's own Mike, who covers, not UCF Mike, but Michael the baseball. I don't know. We have to come up with a nickname for him. He's your beat writer for baseball.
Emptiness four on the social.
All right, very good. Good follow. The big concern is, and him and I agree on this, are they depending too much on Santala and Kramer? Santala went 3+ innings on Sunday. Kramer came in. They both looked a little gassed. They need somebody else in the bullpen to help there, whether it's Nigel or Victor or somebody.
Victor's the one whose early season struggles have, I think, forced over-reliance on Kramer.
100%. And you saw that it cost them in the West Virginia game. Santala went way too long, in my opinion, in that Sunday game. They have to find those answers soon, because I do worry that Santala and Kramer could flame out here at the end, and that could cause a downfall for this team's season. But the good news is I still think they're in decent position to make a regional for the first time since 17. But I am worried about the bullpen there with Santala and Kramer being used in leverage a lot.
Baseball was up. Softball was down. They have reversed spots now. Softball on a roll. Another sweep, Elo. What's gone right for the Knights during this win streak?
Everything's clicking. Their offense has come to life. Their pitching's been dominant. Sarah Willis has been good. Caitlin Felton's picked up 3 wins. They held Houston, who's in the top 20 in a lot of offensive categories in the country, to 2 runs in 3 games. UCF run-ruled them twice. Huge. They're 10-8 in the Big 12. Really good shot to be in the 4 seed for the Big 12, which would be, by the way, the best finish any UCF sports team has had in the Big 12. Big, strong pitching. They're peaking at the right time. They're 11-1 since that last Texas game when you and I got to catch up for a while after the game. And they've been playing well. Doesn't get easier. They got FAU midweek, who's leading the American in standings right now, Wednesday night at home. Then they go to Baylor, big 3-game series. If UCF can get 2-3 wins this week, I really feel pretty good about UCF's chances making the NCAA tournament for a 4th straight year, which has never happened in program history. But they're clicking right now on all cylinders, offensively, pitching, and defense.
And they host Oklahoma coming up. And Oklahoma looks a little bit human, right? They've had a couple of losses, so you might be able to steal a game, maybe 2, in Orlando over the Sooners.
Big packed house for that. Long ways to go. That's a couple weeks from now. We'll worry about that then. But you're right. Team is playing very well at a high level. Willis is pitching great. Ashley Griffin, 3 home runs, 6 hits over the weekend and dominating Houston. They had 3 run rule victories in their 4 wins last week, a combined no-hitter against Jacksonville. So everything's clicking right now. This is the time when you want to be peaking right. But this is a big week. They got a chance to really add more to the resume and really put themselves in a great shot, a position to make that NCAA tournament before Oklahoma, and then obviously the Big 12 tournament coming up around the corner in OKC.
Just win series. You keep doing that and you'll find where you need to be right there at the end. Let's bring back in Adam. Adam, hit us with some knowledge.
All right, gents, here we go. You guys are talking spring game. KJ Jefferson, 12 of 22, 271 yards, as Trace mentioned. two touchdowns, two interceptions, including a 71-yarder to Jared Baker, although Baker did most of the work on that, if we're being honest on this one. Yeah. A name that was really kind of popping in the spring game, Chase, you didn't mention this, Andrew Harris, young linebacker, four tackles, two sacks on the day. Again, we've seen you talk, Elo, earlier about linebackers. Is there a youth movement at linebacker? Stay tuned for that. I will completely confess, I am guilty. I would have not gone to the spring game if it was live stream. So to your point, Elo, I got bullied into going to the spring game because I couldn't watch a live feed. So I am one of those people.
Bullied.
I'm bullied. Yes.
Did Trace force you to go? Trace forced you to go.
I don't want to bring this. Listen, we don't talk about that anymore. There's an NDA. I'm not allowed to talk about that anymore. Here's my other question with the spring game. Is it a good idea to have live animals on the field? I feel like that could go really, really wrong. I think we should get rid of the live animals on the field. Am I alone in this one?
No, I kind of concur. That's fair.
Thank you. Thank you, Elo. And lastly, Benny Williams. Here's his career averages in 3 years at Syracuse. 5.4 points a game, 7.2 points a game, and 1.9 points a game. So it isn't like we're getting some sort of a top level score, although he has 6'9", and those guys just don't grow on trees.
I didn't know they were doing stats in spring game. We could have done a prop bet on the spring game, Trace. What are you going to tell me this?
Wow. I did not know.
People like you, Trace.
Either. People like me. All right. Thank you, Adam. One more thing before we go. Speaking of spring games, Elo, spring game morphing into a silly game all across the country. Case in point, Ole Miss. Its spring festivities included sororities competing in a tug of war, slam dunk contest, and noted hot dog eating champion Joey Chestnut scarfing down 20 dogs in 90 seconds, Elo. So hot dog eating contest, a part of the Ole Miss festivities, makes the race against Pegasus at the end of UCS spring game festivities not seem quite as silly. You think you could do 20 hot dogs in 90 seconds?
No, I feel like you need a big budget to get that in as part of your spring game festivities. Maybe we get Andrew to eat them a few dogs there this week.
Look for new episodes midweek every week on the Sons of UCF YouTube channel. Drops later into the audio feed. For Adam Eaton and Eric Lopez, I'm Trace Trelko. Thank you, everyone, for watching this week's Around the Kingdom.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.